Let's move on now to the latest in the legal fallout from Deflategate. Today, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit denied Tom Brady's request for a rehearing on the NFL's game suspension ruling. So, a reminder, if you're not following this blow by blow, in April, three appeals court judges ruled that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell was within his power when he suspended Brady for his alleged role in deflating footballs during a 2015 playoff game that some say the Pats would have won no matter what, with a tire tube or something even. Joining us by phone right now to talk about where this could go from here is sports attorney Alan Milstein, who's been following this case and Only a Game's Bill Littlefield. Hello to both of you.
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you, Alan. Alan, the NFL Players Association says the commissioner made a, quote, clear violation of the collective bargaining agreement. And so right now, is there anywhere but up from here from this court into the Supreme Court?
No, that's the only place to go. But first, of course, Mr. Brady has to get a stay of the suspension, which he, I'm sure, will apply for this week. First, he's got to apply to the Second Circuit, and then he's got to apply probably just to Justice Ginsburg. And if he can stay the suspension, then they can file a petition for cert to the Supreme Court in 90 days or so.
Could you just clarify what that means, to stay the suspension?
Well, right now, with the Second Circuit en banc denying the review, Mr. Brady would be suspended for the first four games of the season. So in order to get heard by the Supreme Court, to have that hearing mean anything, he has to get the court to say, "All right, let's stay the suspension so it won't take place, it won't be enforced until after Mr. Mm-hmm. Brady has a chance to ask the Supreme Court to hear his appeal."
Right. And then if the Supreme Court decides that the NFL is correct in their decision, he then could be suspended those four games.
Well, that's assuming that the Supreme Court accepts the case.
Right. I didn't mean to jump ahead that much, but I do want to follow through on that. That meaning it's not that it is a temporary thing if the Supreme Court even took this interest in this.
That's right.
So what
that's
is the chance
right.
that they, you know, that they're going to hear this appeal?
Well, I mean, typically your chances are never very good of getting a hearing in the Supreme Court. You know, it's maybe 10%. You know, but this is a case that certainly has caught the public eye. It's a case that the Supreme Court has an interest in, because the real issue in the case is the fairness of the arbitration process. And the Supreme Court has an interest in making sure that people trust the integrity of the arbitration process. And the other thing going for Mr. Brady is that his new counsel, Mr. Olson, is somebody that the court knows very well. He's probably argued as many cases before the Supreme Court as anyone. And there are some people who have filed amicus briefs, friends of the court brief, like Mr. Feinberg, who the Supreme Court also knows very well. So I think Brady has a better chance than most to get the Supreme Court to hear the case.
I want to, Bill, back in the spring, you asked NPR's Nina Totenberg to comment on the possibility of Deflategate reaching the high court. I'd like to play the tape of what she said.
There are some justices who basically say the letter of the law is the letter of the law. You agreed to the contract. Goodell was within his rights, and you have no rights under this contractual provision. Then there's another way to look at it. People who are strongly in favor of individual rights might say you do have certain rights to your reputation and the way you make your living, and they can't be ceded. Liberals and conservatives might be on either side.
So, Alan Milstein, sports attorney, what are the wider implications of this case if Brady files an appeal, it's accepted, for other athletes, but as importantly for labor law, which is very much what this is in part about?
I mean, I think the ramifications of this case go far beyond just athletes. You know, every one of us signs contracts that have arbitration clauses in them. You may not even know it. I mean, it may be in your insurance policy, it may be in your mortgage, it may be in your lease, it may be in the contract of employment that you have. And the myth behind arbitration clauses is that, one, everybody that if you've signed the contract, you know about it and you've agreed to it, which of course isn't true. But the other myth is that don't worry, because an arbitration process is just as fair as a court hearing. And that's really where this case has broad ramifications, because I don't think there's any question that the hearing that Brady had was not fair. You know, it was decided over by the same person who issued the punishment in the first place. So how could it be fair?
Mm-hmm. Bill Littlefield, what's your take on this as you watch sports across the board?
My worry, well, what I hope will happen in the long run is the people who are running the National Football Players Union will never sign such a stupid contract again, where they gave the kind of power to the commissioner that they did, where he gets to be judge and jury and executioner. But in terms of the implications for labor beyond football, there's a terrible irony, isn't there, that a multi-million-dollar laborer comes to represent the interests of labor in general.
Right. That is quite profound, and we'll see if it all plays out. Alan Milstein, thank you so much for joining us today, a sports attorney based in New Jersey and following this case. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Bill, don't go anywhere. So the Patriots open their season September 11th in Arizona, and if the suspension goes through for Tom Brady, it's likely that the fact that backup quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo will take his place. So what does that mean for the season as it starts?
Nobody knows. the backup quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, has played so little that I don't think anybody is able to extrapolate anything regarding his performance in the future based on his performance in the past.
Well, that's hard to believe. I mean, they must know.
He's barely been on the field.
What do you think of him? Talented?
I have no idea. I haven't a clue. I mean, I assume he's talented because the Patriots know how to do their business, and they drafted him, and they've been employing him as a backup quarterback for a couple of years. But he really has had so little game experience that nobody knows. Now, this may be one of these absolutely wonderful stories where he steps in and throws six touchdown passes in four games in a row and breaks all the records and everything else. From time to time, this happens.
It's Echo Semla's story about a Hollywood starlet being discovered, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, she's, hey, the star is sick. Right, you got to go on. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I know all the lines.
Are there any other options besides Garoppolo?
Not that I'm aware of right now. I mean, he's the only guy that anybody's been talking about. So I suppose anything could happen in the wonderful world of trade. I mean, maybe they'll find somebody in a semi-pro league somewhere if he tweaks a knee. But no, I think he's the guy, and everybody's got their fingers crossed and hoping for the best.
All right. There are other things going on in the world of sports. Because you're here, we want to make sure we hear about them. Is it true that this is normally the dead part of the sports calendar this time of year?
It's traditionally characterized that way, Jill. But, you know, you have a women's soccer league going on. You have the WNBA season going on. So I think it's a little bit troglodytic to characterize
okay.
it as
All right.
the dead
Good.
Season.
I'm glad to hear that. I don't want to make any assumptions, but it is interesting.
MLS is also
yes, in. Yeah, yeah, and WBNA. Mm. We have a crossover, though, also again of American political life leading into sports, or American cultural life. During the Canadian national anthem at last night's MLB All-Star game, we heard this.
In all thy sons come. We're all brothers and sisters. All lives matter to the great.
Do you want to explain what was changed there?
Yeah, there was a lyric change by one member of a group called the Tenors, and the other three members of the Tenors looked askance at the guy who had single-handedly changed the lyrics and inserted the phrase, all lives matter. Of course, the problem with the phrase all lives matter is that it has become so fraught with baggage. Black Lives Matter is a cry of anguish, a cry of despair. And all lives matter has been interpreted as a kind of anti-Black Lives Matter sentiment. And this is very much what the response has been to this particular singer's decision.
I want to ask you to respond to another response that came out from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Reported that this past weekend that four police officers who were off duty were doing, you know, security detail at in Minneapolis at a WNBA game, and they saw that several Minnesota Lynx players were wearing shirts that said many things. It said, change starts with us, mm-hmm. justice and accountability. It also, on the back, the shirts had Philando Castile's name and Alton Sterling's name, along with Black Lives Matter and a Dallas Police Department emblem. What do you make of those security detail leaving?
I think it was they weren't paying enough attention to what the players were trying to do. The players were basically, I think, trying to say we need to stop violence, no matter whether it's violence against black motorists or black pedestrians or black people outside of convenience stores, or it's violence against police officers trying to do their job in a peaceful way, marching alongside peaceful demonstrators. It would be better if everybody recognized that the kind of violence that we've seen against African Americans is not obviously to be addressed by violence against police officers. Violence only begets more violence.
Right. And but on the court, this is playing out there. It will play out in other places, I imagine. And hopefully we will hear your folks reporting on this on Only a Game.
Hard to avoid at this point.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yes.
Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, airs Saturday on WBUR, this Saturday, every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Jill Kaufman. This is Radio Boston.